So the acting Minister of Health, Mamoluko Kubane, briefing the nation on a number of things that she said, needed our attention, talking about the vaccination program, talking in particular about the surge in Gauteng. And to look at, I suppose, the most important things that were said, we're joined now by Mia Milan, Editor-in-Chief at Begisisa Health Journalism Centre. Mia, welcome and thanks for your time. Quite a long briefing from the Minister. What do you think are the most important things we need to know?
So I think the immediate thing for Gauteng, specifically where most of the infections in South Africa take place at the moment, is that she announced that the military health services will help out, will move into the province from today, starting today, so that they're able to use more beds in hospitals. She argued that there are more beds available, but we don't have enough health workers to look after patients in those areas where we have extra beds. So the military's health workers, nurses and doctors will come to help, and that non-critical surgeries will be postponed in most hospitals. And in Gauteng, hospital visits have also been stopped to limit infections. And the military services, health services will also help with mass testing in communities here in Gauteng. So that is an immediate intervention in Gauteng in particular. It wasn't just the acting health minister speaking. She had various people from the health department also speaking. And I think the other immediate thing that is important is that we are going to start to vaccinate people at schools, who work at schools, teachers, and also all school staff, so all the support staff as well. And we received 300,000 J&J vaccines last night for this. And they're now being tested, and on Wednesday they aim to start with the vaccinations.
We're going to chat in a bit of detail around the role of the South African Military Health Service, a chat at 10 to 4 with military and defense analyst Helmut Heitmann. So I won't ask you questions about that right now, Mia, but what was your overall sense of the acting minister's outlining of what government's response is, and in particular in Gauteng? I mean, is it your understanding that there are lots of beds that would be appropriate, and that would mean, yes, personnel, but also oxygen and the right facilities, the right screening from other parts of facilities? Do you think that capacity exists?
Well, she didn't mention anything about oxygen, but I know that oxygen, that there's a lot of effort to make oxygen available at the moment. What she did mention was that Charlotte Nteke, as you may know, there is a wing that can't be used because of a fire that was there, and that they have brought in engineers to the hospital to make 1,000 beds available there. But obviously that first has to be security cleared and cleared that it's safe to work there, but they're making an effort with that at the moment. According to her, several public hospitals have looked at extra beds that's being made available because we are not reopening field hospitals, for instance, the Nasrec Center.
Yes.
So that obviously is an issue, but my understanding is that that was very expensive to keep open. And I know in the previous wave, there were also limits as to what kind of patients Nasrec could take. If you were a very severe ICU patient, they couldn't necessarily help you always. So I think the cost of that center and the fact that it wasn't used so often and then closed down, there was a very, very expensive contract that they had in the previous wave, for which they also had to pay per bed, even if there was no patient in that center. So my impression is that they're now transferring that cost to public hospitals to rather only pay for beds where people are being admitted.
And Mia, overall, your sense of an acting minister, but I think perhaps more relevant, a department. Do you sense they have a plan that stretches into what is will inevitably a deeper crisis, given the trajectory of this third wave? Or do you think they're just scrambling to meet immediate needs? I mean, you've been watching this right from the outset. I'm sure you've got a very good sense of when they're on top and when I wouldn't say ducking and diving, but scrambling. Let's stay with that word.
So with regards to, I'm going to answer it in two separate segments, with regards to the acting health minister, I think she's been thrown in at the deep end. And if I watched her today, she did pretty well. For someone who was not part of these COVID efforts and now has to understand how vaccinations work and how they're getting rolled out, I think she's doing a pretty good job in such a short time. With regards to the department and their plan, you know, I heard you speaking before I came on about communication, and I think that is the biggest downfall of the health department at the moment.
Yes.
To give you an example, so we had this press briefing this morning. It's the first time we hear these plans. Everyone is, you know, you just see bits and pieces of it in the media. Now, you would expect after a briefing like this that the plan is released in a media release and you see it on paper. There's
right.
nothing like that. Now, that does give you the impression of a scrambling. I do think from speaking to people in the health department that currently things are changing by the hour, which
right.
is probably why they don't release a thing. And that has partly to do with the fact that they don't exactly know when we're getting our next batches of vaccines. They know we're getting a Pfizer batch on June, this Sunday evening, but they don't have no idea when the Pfizer vaccines will arrive, the rest of them in July, because Pfizer hasn't yet given them dates. And I think the planning revolves around that. They also know another batch of J&J vaccines is arriving next week, but they haven't told us how many. They seem to be unsure. So I think some of the uncertainty around when we're getting how many vaccines
yes.
does influence the plan. But I think I get the impression when I hear these plans that there's not a document, you know, that says section 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, I get the idea that there's a Google Doc with lots of things entered in there, and they change all the time. I'm really hoping we get to a point where there's a structure for it and where we know what is, you know, where they can really go structurally and methodologically saying this is going to happen next. So, for instance, what they spoke about today, and that's obviously new, is that in addition to this wider rollout where you register on the EVDS and you go to a clinic, there's going to be several parallel programs to that. So that the one is the teachers. Straight after the teachers, they're going to start with the police and correctional services and the military service, and then in parallel with that, there's also various workplace programs where, for instance, mines will vaccinate their own people. The vaccines
yeah.
will be taken to them. So there's a lot of different components being rolled out simultaneously.
Thanks very much. We're going to have to leave it there with Mia Milan, Editor-in-Chief at Begi Sisa Health Journalism Center.